All right, we are back again, episode 4 of The Hot Plate.
I love it. Some
definitely good stuff for today. Rob, we were talking earlier, some things you learned this week.
Yeah, just some things I learned this week. I mean, so many things. My week was action-packed, but just I had an opportunity to have two retros that were really funny and impactful. Both kind of retros with two separate kind of engagements or situations. You know, historically have been more ceremonial and kind of more just, you know, by the numbers, like just not extremely, they were purposeful. I mean, they're valuable, but I mean, they just weren't a full blown, like, let's just let our hair down and like talk about the things that are wrong so we could solve them.
And are these clients of yours or teams that you're on? What sort of
teams group? That I'm on? Yeah. Teams okay. That I'm on. And so this week we just had like two super raw ones that were awesome. Like, for one team that I'm on, it was just hilarious. We were just like riffing on some of the things we haven't really had a chance to reflect on. And we kind of identified, you know, next steps to solve some of those problems. And it was just, it demonstrated the value of like, just being honest and transparent about the situation. And it's not like while taking care of each other and while like, you know, making sure you're not offending people or, you know, just being considerate of people's feelings, but it's really funny. It was just great. Like I got to let my hair down and just like kind of say some things I've been wanting to give, you know, the team feedback on, and it was great. It was just felt really empowering.
And so like, what do you think will be the biggest change you'll see as a result?
Just like, I think the confidence hopefully in, you know, some of the stakeholder management of the team a little bit, where like you actually lose value by not being opinionated and just kind of placating someone's perspective. Like you just lose leverage. You lose the ability to advocate for the team. You lose the ability to protect team members, and protect their time and things like that. So like, people are like, oh yeah, that's, you know, whenever you hear feedback about like some type of like leader, you know, program manager, project manager, product manager, whoever's like running the show, they're like, oh yeah, the person's really friendly. You know, they're easy to interface with and all this stuff. Sometimes like that's actually like, you know, not super positive because they shouldn't always be that easy to work with. They should be like kind of the bulldogs that are guarding the team. And so that's always like a hidden red flag where normally people are like, oh, that's cool. They must be liked. And it's like, PMs aren't supposed to be liked. They're supposed to be efficient and they're supposed to like protect your investments and they're supposed to make sure things are happening and like your resources are well resourced and happy and willing to keep, you know, paddling, if it was like a ship or something.
Yeah. Yeah. The goal is that they love you at the end. That's all that matters. And they can hate you throughout, but you're right. If I've seen it a lot of times where who's ever running the project or the PM or, you know, whoever, if their goal is to be liked throughout and yeah. They don't call out issues or make the hard decisions, then, you know, the client likes you, then the project fails and they hate you. And so much better to have the fights as you go.
What you just described in that simplest form is the story of the DoD and like software delivery, right? Like years upon years of program managers getting hired that are friends with people and they're able to like keep the asset out of the air for a bit. And then, but they're not kind of putting, you know, an emphasis on scoping requirements or accountability, both externally and internally, and like really kind of just making sure that the thing that they're building is like feasible, like highest ROI, very valuable. And, you know, like they just kind of, you know, brush shoulders with people. They're fun to see out at conferences and then the project fails and they kind of just find the next company and the next program manager that has that same archetype. And they repeat the same cycle until the next failure and then they reset it. And that's why you see some of these projects like every 3 years resetting or every year resetting and pivoting. And everyone's like, wow, I thought that was delivered and done. Why is this RFP back on the street? And it's like, just sad. Like, it's just, it's unnecessarily hard, I guess.
Yeah. And it can go on perpetually because the government's not going to go out of business.
Yeah, exactly.
When companies do that, eventually they run out of money and they fail and it at least it ends. And, you know, those people might go to another company and do the same thing, but
or learn from it, you know?
What?
Or learn for it.
Or learn, yes.
Like
yes.
Their project fails, they get kind of either asked to leave or they end up leaving because whatever, for whatever reason, but they walk away from it like, wow, that was weird. Like, I wonder if I had anything to do with that. And then they do some soul searching. You know, that's how I view stuff. I always, whenever there's a situation that's not doing well, whether like I'm the leader of it or a contributor or whatever, I'm always like, what am I like not doing well here? And a lot of times it's like, you know, I'm not, you know, as diligent as I can about details or doing things that, you know, X, Y, and Z. But sometimes it's just like, I'm not voicing my opinion and like calling BS on things and being an advocate for truth and transparency and like accuracy. And that's like, so yeah, what you just described is the case like almost all the time. And it's unfortunate, right? Because like you were saying, it's not like the money runs out. Even more kind of sinister and weird. It's like, oh, like we need more next time. And like, so the whole cycle repeats for 2x the cost. And it just gets weirder and bigger and harder to achieve. And it's just sad. And like, everyone's comfortable with like it being this never ending cycle of like ending up with nothing, which freaks me out.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, to that point, as you know, people kind of look for solutions and how to break that cycle. What shifted for you that made this week's retros and discussions that much different? Like what changed that caused those you'd have a different result?
I think just like the stakeholders who are involved in these retros, and we like did it outside of our downstream, like not on the same call as our customer, where it was like a safer space and we could all just be ourselves a little bit and like talk about some of the challenges. And we had some prompts because we got some feedback, but it's like, you know, we were able to just be more real about, you know, what are the things that aren't helping us succeed or contributing to value, or what are the things that are good and how can we leverage them, even if they were just like, you know, optics related, like how can we leverage this perception to like make stakeholder management easier or get a better outcome, right? Because people are so interesting. Like I think we talked about or touched on this in the last call when I was talking about that new like CRM style tool, but it's like perception is so important. Like even if you're 100% right and you're architecture is like strategically kind of sequenced when you're building it or something, you have all the details you need, or you're managing the risk as effectively as you possibly can. Like if somebody just doesn't like you, it's going to be so hard to kind of communicate that strategy or work with them. So if you notice that and like you're trying to change things about your personality, or you're just trying to summarize things differently and they're still just like very biased towards like not being a fan, and sometimes you just have to have other people deliver that message. Like, hilariously on, for one of the situations, like I've just been super busy. I started my company. I'm like a fractional asset on this one thing. And there was this person that was like giving an overview of like, you know, their capability area. And I had to step out of the room and take a call. And they had that kind of like dojo senpai, mentality where it's like, you know, how dare you like not stay and listen to like, you know, my explanation of this thing. So as soon as I did that, regardless of if I stayed and like caught up or like swept the floors or, you know, mopped the floors or whatever, I would never regain that like honor. Mm-hmm. And so it took me too long to recognize that. And I was like, oh, that's why like these conversations are harder than they need to be. Like somebody else could simply deliver that message, or they can replace me with somebody else. But like, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes you just can't win. And like being honest and transparent about like what the challenges are and what levers you have to pull to be able to resolve those challenges, I think like just empowers teams. And this retro, we were able to talk through some of that.
That's great. That sounds, you know, not the same, but like adjacent to an experience I had this week where I had heard this phrase before, but it didn't quite sink into what it meant of like, you know, old school rock tumblers, where you put, you know, just these rough rocks that just look like rocks and some grit and a little liquid in these tumblers. And then you spin it around and they just smash into each other and smash into each other. And then you open it up, you know, I don't know, the next night, overnight, the next day, and you've got these like really cool gems in there.
That's awesome.
And it's from this, like, you know, they call it this helpful friction, or, you know, that it works. And so, had a few experiences this week talking to someone where I was like, I think we should do this. And they're like, that's a terrible idea. I think we should do this. And I'm like, well, that's a terrible idea. And we kind of just talked through these terrible ideas. And at the end of it, we came out with a third, you know, a totally new idea that we both said, now that's a good idea, you know,
dude,
but neither of us rocks, you know, on our own, would have come up with it. And it was only by the, you know, banging together, but with the grit and the oil, which is effectively the respect and commitment, you know, to work together, it came out. And so it was kind of cool, though, because like after it, we kind of paused and said, what just happened, you know, and then actually discussed, you know, the rock tumbler process. And then we're like, oh, we just did it. You know, that was it. That's what, you know, people have been talking about of this, you know, helpful friction.
That's amazing. Well, what's the foundation of helpful friction?
In the sense that like, it's in that energy. It's how to harness that energy to create something better, to polish the rocks.
And I think that energy starts like the foundation is like psychological safety, right? And trust.
Yeah. Cause you're about to just butt heads and you have to do it knowing, no, this is good. We're 100%. Not fighting. We're not fighting, you know?
But if you don't have that, right? Like the normal way that people that are trying to like have a successful outcome from that tumbling, when the outcome isn't something like whatever we're ideating on needs to be better as a system, and it needs to work. Like, you know, there's criteria for success, right? Or something that is optimal. It's like the thing works well, and it solves like this really interesting problem, and hopefully it can scale and solve more than just that problem. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like, those are the desired outcomes. But if you don't have that psychological safety, it becomes like two humans. How does someone get out of this situation with the upper hand? And it has nothing to do with the outcomes. And that without that psychological safety, that foundation, it's huge. Like psychological safety is like a weird word that people like joke about, or we, you know, have opinions about. It means a lot to me. It's like, there's, I'm going to call him out. So Dylan Brown, shout out to Dylan Brown, my homie, my PM dog. He's great. Like, learned so much from him. I've seen him go from like, you know, acquisitions contracting officer to program manager to chief of staff to like ruthless product manager in a very high stressful situation to like, you know, a FANG or, you know, a FANG equivalent product manager, senior product manager that's like influencing hiring decisions and like guiding the company where they need to go next. Like killer, like actually just like really did super well. But him and I had that rock tumbler relationship that you described where we can riff for a while. And, you know, compared to some other, you're making me think about some other situations outside of the other one that I was just describing, not Dylan, the one prior to that about like the retros, but there's a situation where somebody kind of like pitched a capability or technology. And it's like, well, you know, there isn't anything incredibly novel about that. I want to give that feedback and say, like, you're like six steps away from something that's like commercializable or whatever, you know, like something that is unique, like just need to scope it a little bit. But I don't have that psychological safety. There's still that like buffer of ego there where it's like, you know, what stinks. I have to let them like fail their way to like whatever I could potentially recommend details wise to maybe save them time and money just because I don't want to like affect our friendship because we don't have that psychological safety. But
right.
Dylan, him and I are just like, yo, we can riff. What are the things we need to do? Why won't they work? What's the, you know, total addressable market? What's the total serviceable market? Could have real conversations about data and like likelihood of success, like so fluid.
Yeah. Also that totally dovetails into something I've been thinking about as well that I've realized having made this mistake, you know, a number of times this week and many times in the past, as well as this notion of you have to let people learn things for themselves. If you have just visited some town and you have a bad experience and a friend says, hey, I want to go visit that town. And if you try to convince them from your experience, no, it's bad. You don't want to go there. Don't do it. You think you're helping them, but you're not. Because if you win that argument, they're still going to resent you, even if subconsciously, that you didn't let them try something they wanted to try. And whereas if you just let them go and support them on their way there, one, they may have a great time. They're not you. So they're different people. And two, if it goes poorly, they'll have learned something. And what they'll remember is that you supported them in their journey to do something. And, you know, it's, you know, what you've learned in life and through experience and things, it's like, use that to guide you, but you have to help others find their own way. It's such a trap of thinking, oh, I can help this person you know, from my experiences, and
yeah,
you know, everybody's got to touch the stove.
And summarizing it, like, and, or just the way you communicate it too. Like, you can just be like, hey, side note, you could probably, even if you have like a strong opinion about something, you can dilute it to something that's not threatening or not like your idea versus theirs. It's kind of like, here's just like some additional information that you might want to consider. Step away. Maybe subconsciously they incorporate that into their strategy or something. You know, there's definitely an approach there. But yeah, dude, I love the rock tumbler settings. I mean, that's when you build like, you know, generational products, I think, that like change the world, change domains.
And to your point with the relationship and the safety, again, if you don't have that, what happens when you just smash two rocks together? Like, one of them is going to break, or both. Yeah. Like you it's you got to have the set and setting for that all to work.
Dude, yes.
Cool. Well, that sounds awesome. I'm glad you had that for you this week. Hopefully that will continue.
Yeah, totally.
Cool. Well, I got to run. This has been great. We'll do it again soon.
Love it. Well, thank you so much, Mark. This is fun.
Yeah. Thanks, Rob.
All right.